1 Thessalonians this morning, chapter 2. Good to have, where's Miss Christine? Miss Christine visiting all the way from the east side. Praise the Lord, on the other side of the river. And then Mr. David, all the way from downtown Hamlin. So praise the Lord for that. I'm glad you're here today. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Thankful for the Word of God this morning. And that's what we're going to be looking at, what the Bible says about the Bible and how helpful it is. And I pray that it is an encouragement, but also maybe a correction where needed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, it says this: "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing." That's something. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth." You see the differentiation between man's word and God's word. One is true, and well, one tries to be. And it's pretty clear which one is true and which one tries to be. We do our best to speak truth. Of course, we would not lead anyone astray, but we are only capable of doing so much. God's word is true all the time. Isn't it a blessing? Here we are with our Bible. Some of these words were written close to maybe 3,000 to 4,000 years ago and still true. Praise the Lord for that. That's a blessing. As we continue, it says this: "The word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." The word effectually is not affectual, like a token of love, but here that means thoroughly, completely. The word of God can work in us in a way unlike anything else. And this morning we're going to look at the work of God personally through His Word in our life. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. God, You know my prayers. And God, I'm thankful that You answer them. I'm thankful to know that You hear us, and I'm thankful to know that You care for us. God, I pray that You be with those that maybe have a heavy heart this morning. Maybe circumstances, maybe intangibles that just are weighing them down. God, I pray that Your word would encourage us. Pray for those that have a major decision to make this week. Lord, I pray that You'd lead them and guide them. Lord, I pray that You'd help us draw closer to Thee. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says this, that in verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye receive the word which ye heard of us." Man, it's a blessing to see you here this morning. I don't know why you're here. I'm hoping, I pray that it is to receive the word of God. It's good to see friends. Some of you like seeing friends. Sure. Spending time with friends. Sure. Maybe some of your closest friends in the world are seated right in this room. Praise the Lord for that. But that is not why we come to church. That is a result of meeting Christ. We come to church to meet with God Himself, and God speaks to us. He uses preaching. I looked up the definition of preaching. That was helpful. It is public discourse on a religious subject. Public. And here we are, publicly preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I'm thankful, as Pastor Seatman tried to draw our attention to the fact of reminding us when we couldn't meet. Not that we couldn't, but we chose not to. Just for public safety and trying to figure things out, we were kind of captivated by fear a little bit and unknowns. And as those things started making themselves known, we felt God led us to come back together. And I'm thankful. You know, many a times we don't realize what we have until it's gone. And I don't ever want to get over my salvation or assembling together to worship God. And here we are publicly preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. Not everybody has that freedom today. There's places in this world that it is a crime to stand on the Word of God. Yet they continue because it is the right thing to do. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world," the Bible says. "Go ye into all the world and do what? And preach the gospel to every creature." Man, woman, child, elderly, young, we are to preach the gospel. The Bible says that we receive the Word of God. How do we receive the Word of God? Well, we receive it through the preaching. I am thankful for preaching. Many a decisions and many a help and supporting decisions in my life were made because of good preaching. It helped me. Tried to make a decision, and then I heard preaching, and the Lord just came right up behind that and just encouraged me, pushed me over the edge of right decisions. Maybe a young person have made a decision. Maybe you're still in church today because of a decision you made back at camp or as a child. God uses preaching to get a hold of our hearts. He brings us His Word through preaching. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So this morning, can I tell you, I'm nothing special. I'm just a person just like you. Get dressed and deal with the difficulties of life. Sometimes I win, sometimes I lose, honestly. Sometimes I don't handle myself in a way that I'm too proud of. Sometimes my impatience gets the best of me. Sometimes I get frustrated with my own self. I'm just like you. But the Lord has allowed me to stand behind this pulpit of wood and open up this holy Word of God and express to you what it means to walk by faith. I do my best to try and exemplify that, and I know the morning message is, I don't want to take away from the Lord and make it about me. I'm just saying that this morning, as you come to hear, you're not coming to hear me, you're coming to hear from God. And I'm thankful that God uses preaching to get His message across. Everywhere. Go ye into all the world. There ought not to be a corner of this world where the gospel is not being preached. It is our responsibility as Christians to take the gospel to those that have never heard. Everyone, everywhere. But He not only uses, not only do we receive the Word of God with preaching, but also teaching. Say, what's the difference? It sounds teaching the Bible. I've sat in some of your classes, Pastor Russo. Sometimes they get a little preachy, and I do apologize. But there is something to be taught, the Scriptures, to instruct and inform. Preaching is public discourse. Teaching is instructing and informing. And I'm thankful for the Word of God that instructs us and teaches us how we ought to behave. The Bible says in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, the disciples went to Christ and they said this, "Lord, teach us to pray." What did that mean? That means we need some instruction. Hey, don't preach us a sermon about it. I need to learn how to do it. Imagine we're about 3 weeks, no, 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks away from starting Lake Ontario Baptist Academy. Is it 2 weeks, 3 weeks? I don't know. It all kind of blurs. September 9th is our first day, wherever that is on the calendar. And we're excited, but imagine if all the teachers came in and said, "Hey, we're going to do something different this year. Instead of teaching you, we're going to preaching you." Jacob's like, "I've heard it." No. There are some instructions that the Word of God teaches us. And Jesus, I can imagine Him sitting down there and says, "Okay, here, let me explain to you how to pray." Instruction. The Word of God teaches us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11. You should be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11. It says this. I like this verse. I read 1 Thessalonians latter half of this week, and there were certain concepts that just grabbed the hold, and you're going to hear a couple verses out of Thessalonians today. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11, "And that ye study to be quiet." Well, when I was in school, to study means to learn something, or at least attempt to learn something. There we were. I took Spanish for, I think, 4 years, 7th and 8th grade, 9th and then 10th grade. And that required an intense amount of study. Why? Because at our house, we did not naturally speak Spanish. We even had a hard time kind of with English. So Spanish was a thing. So I had to study a foreign language. It didn't come natural to me. You know what we have to learn? I like this. This is just an example of one thing that we need to be taught, but that you study to be quiet. Some of you, it's not natural. Some of you have to learn the process or to be taught. What is the context of that? And to do your own business. Stop butting in. Keep your own yard clean. Stay in your own lane. Whatever the phrase is that rings true to you, but study to be quiet. Does that mean you don't want me to say anything? No, but God wants you to help to stay in your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. That's something that is taught. Oh, sure, we could preach about it. But that takes someone coming alongside and saying, hey, remember over there when we were talking and then you just came in and put your two cents in? Don't do that. That's not right. Or mind your own business in love and graciousness and meekness. The Word of God not only is received through preaching, but also through teaching. Some of the loudest lessons that I've ever been taught were not in a classroom or with words, but by watching someone's example. I've learned a lot about graciousness and mercy by watching some of you. But the Word of God is taught to us, and we ought to receive it. We ought not to rebel against instruction. I do believe Proverbs speaks greatly of the importance of receiving instruction. For if we do not, we are damning our souls and we're a fool. So to receive preaching and receive instruction is how the Word of God gets into us. That's important. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, it says this. We'll read the second half of the verse. It says, which ye have heard of us, talking of the Word of God. Ye received it not as the word of men. Big difference between man's wisdom and God's wisdom. Are eggs good now or are they not? Am I supposed to take an aspirin before or not? Running good? No, don't run. It'll mess up your knees. You need to walk quickly. It's up, it's down, who knows? Carbs, yes, no carbs. Sugar, absolutely. Well, I don't think anyone ever really said yes to the sugar thing. But, man, people can't make up their minds. Travel, okay. No travel. Do not travel. Masks, they protect. Don't wear masks. They're suffocating you. And who knows? Let's just go to God and see what God says. Because the wisdom of men, man, we try hard, but there's no substitute to the truth of the Word of God. And it says this, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, now look at, which effectually worketh also in you, that belief. The Word of God, it can be very personal to you. And it works in you differently than it works in me because I have lessons that I have to learn and you have lessons you have to learn, and yet God can minister all those lessons, even on a Sunday morning like today. I have 4 points. Say, what was all that? That was introduction. Isn't that a blessing? I'm only preaching once today, so I got to fit 2 messages into one. But effectually, thoroughly worketh in you. And where you're at is different than where I'm at. Maybe you've been saved for 2 weeks. Maybe you've been saved for 20 years. And everything in between. God uses the Word through preaching and teaching and reading and studying and applying. It works in us and it changes us. It changes us from the inside out. So let's look at the Word of God and see how it works in us. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Number 1 this morning, the work of the Word concerning sin and salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Glad you have your Bibles here this morning. If you are maybe new to turning to pages and you just want to listen, that's fine, no problem. And don't get distracted by, I can't find Timothy. Don't worry about it. Just listen to the verse. The Bible says, hold on, I'm in 1 Timothy. Looks a lot like 2 Timothy, just not so much. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. What is the benefit or what is the strength of the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation? I am thankful for the Word of God this morning because it taught me what I needed to know to be saved. For without the Word of God, I would not have known. Say, I certainly can look in nature and know that there is an all-powerful Creator. But to know about Jesus Christ, to explain to me my sin and how is it offensive and it separates me from God and the penalty of sin that even the Bible says that a child can grab a hold of. Right now there's 40 young children sitting up in junior church being taught the Word of God. Say, why do you waste your time? It is not a waste of time at all because it will give them the wisdom that they need to bring them under the knowledge that they need to be saved. Not at all. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Say, what is salvation? It is faith in Christ Jesus, it says. For without the Word of God, I would not know about me. I would not know about God. I would not know about the payment of Christ upon the cross. And you take the Word of God and you take the Holy Spirit of God working inside your heart and He draws you to Him. And at that moment, you have an opportunity to say, is this what I believe? Is this who I am? I call upon the name of the Lord to save me. I am thankful for the work of the Word that brings me to salvation. I've told you this, but when I was 10, someone opened up the Scriptures and didn't say, hey, let me tell you what I think. They said, look at what God says. I'm telling you, if you can share with someone the salvation gospel message, open up the Bible. Yes, you can use your testimony, a powerful testimony. But showing someone, there's something special about reading about you in this book. And that brought me to Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1. We got a bunch of verses here today, so hopefully your fingers are limber. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. The Bible says, being born again. Oh, you must be born again, it says in John chapter 3. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Say, what is that talking about? It redefines it in the next section. By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Praise the Lord. You know, I don't have, maybe it's my past of hearing jokes, like Peter standing at the doors of heaven, and there's a series of 100 jokes of those things. But it got a mental picture in my mind. I don't know how we get into heaven I know how we get into heaven, but I don't know the actual logistical. Are we driven in on chariots? Is there just a big door and we walk through, or just whammo, we're in? I don't know. But I am thankful that when I get to the gates or however it is, that I'm not going to get there and they're, oh yeah, I'm sorry, we don't take easy pass anymore. Oh, I'm sorry, we don't. You show up to the toll booth and you have your $2 and they're like, no, we've already scanned your license plate. We're sending you a bill. It's like, we changed the law. I'm glad I'm not going to get to heaven and God says, I'm sorry, we changed the law. What you did isn't good enough. No, the Bible says that the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. And when I get there and I say, and he says, under what merit do you come in? Through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Still good. being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. I'm thankful that the Word of God changes not concerning salvation. James chapter 1 and verse 21. James 1:21 says this, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity." See, what is that? Absolute wickedness of naughtiness. "And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Thankful that I can open up to Romans chapter 10. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I'm thankful for the Word of God giving me direction concerning sin and salvation. The Bible makes it very clear what sin is. It is a breaking of God's law. It's not just what's inconvenient or what you deem. Remember, the truth is not based on the wisdom of men, but on the truth of God. And I'm thankful that I can open up the Word of God, read through Exodus chapter 20. There's about 10 commandments right there. And as I read through, I go, guilty, guilty, guilty. In some way, after reading through the New Testament, I've broken all 10. Murder, the Bible says that if you have an anger or hatred in your heart towards somebody. So you've felt that? I think you'd be lying if you didn't. Bible tells us that if we, you know, break the law on one point, according to what I read, I've broken it in every. I needed Jesus Christ to save me from my sin. And I'm thankful that He showed me that. And you know what? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to everyone that believeth. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that God can bring salvation to me. And I read about it through His Word. Praise the Lord for the Word of God. The work of the Word to bring us to salvation. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, if you don't understand the consequences, the eternal consequences of sin and your need for a Savior, say, is it just because you're saying it? No, I'm telling you, it's because it's the rules by which God is established. And one day you're going to take your last breath and you're going to cross over into something called eternity. And if that isn't established right here in your lifetime, there'll be no second chance. Our society is built upon second chances, and I'm thankful for that. You got one opportunity, your life, to trust Christ. Say, "I'll do it later." Many of people have stepped into eternity expecting that they would have time later. Something so important, do not put off. You have a need for a Savior, and it is simple as receiving forgiveness of your sins. But thankfully, the Word of God, amazingly, if all we got was salvation, if all we got was information about how to have our sin removed and given eternal life, that if that's all the Bible talked about, that'd be the greatest book ever written. Which it is. But it's got so much more even. See, after that, it also gives me instruction in daily life. It doesn't stop there. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Is anybody warm? Okay, good. Don't wear wool suits in summer. I don't think this is clean. Hold on. St. Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. God's going to express to us what His thoughts are on two thoughts. Separation and sanctification. He doesn't just save us. He doesn't just explain to us sin and salvation. But after salvation, He says, "All right, here's what I would like. I would like you to separate yourself from the old lifestyle." How do you wish you would have got a hold of that thought a little earlier? After salvation, every moment that you spend in the world, can I tell you, is nothing but heartache. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, very clear. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Imagine walking into the temple back in Jerusalem and sitting off to the side is Dagon, the fish god. What's that doing here? Oh, well, if the ark doesn't work out good today, we're going over here. No way. What agreement hath now the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye, what's the next word? Separate. God wants you separate from that which he saved you from. Say, what is that? Sin. I'm thankful for our farmers. How many of you appreciate farmers? Absolutely. Man, what this week I had to get up early for something, and the guy that lives down the road, he's a farmer, and and he was pulling out, and I was like, it was, to me, ridiculously early up. And that's, I think, his normal time that he goes. And I'm usually home way earlier than him. And I see the truck pulling in. His hands are like bare hands. I mean, that he could, I don't know. I think he'd do lug nuts with his fingers. Strong guy. And I appreciate farmers. Say, why are you bringing up farmers? Because every year I look out in the back, and you know what? We have like a 400-acre field, farm field out back here. And you know what they do every year? They plow that thing up and turn it up and get all the rocks and all the garbage out of there. They don't do it just one time. So what are you saying? Hey, when sin gets into your life, you know what you need to do? You need to turn that ground up like the farmer does on a regular basis and get that junk out of there. Well, I got saved. Yeah, that's great. But somehow a rock got back into your field. Separate yourself. Clean up. And the Word of God helps us with that. Say, what is God's thoughts on my fellowship with that which is sinful? We just read it. He wants us separate. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you would draw yourselves. There are certain passages in the Scripture that sometimes just, I read through some of the prophets, can I tell you? This is just me talking, and it doesn't make a world of difference in the grand scheme of things. But sometimes I read through Isaiah, Brother Parrott, and I'm like, is that for me, or did that happen already, or is that yet to come? Or I read Ezekiel, I'm like, I don't understand a wheel within a wheel. I don't get it. And I read through Jeremiah, and I'm like, stop crying, get up and get going, you know? Or I'll read Habakkuk. If I asked you today, what is Obadiah about? Say, who's Obadiah? It's a one-chapter minor prophet. What's it about? I don't know. How about Haggai? Anybody? I mean, we all know Hosea. We get Hosea. But there's certain passages I read through and I try and draw something and I try and put it into context, and I don't want to just scan it over, and I study it and I try and read it. But there's areas that are just obvious of what it's saying. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye would draw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. What does that mean? I know exactly what it means. Separate from sin. Separate from carnality. Say, why? He wants us to be miserable, it says. They tell me antifreeze tastes good. Maybe you've gotten some in your mouth. Is it sweet? I don't know. No, okay. They warn you, don't spill antifreeze on the ground because your dog will like it and eat it. I think of that when I read this. Well, I want to go over here. Understand, I got it, but that's poison, and that's going to hurt you. Separate from that. Yeah, but look, it's so pretty green. No, withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which you received of us, for yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. For ye behave not ourselves, disorderly among you. Hey, shape up. Walk right and do what is right. We are not going to answer to the Lord for our ignorance, but for the choices that we made that were contrary to what He told us. I am here to tell you, stay away from sin and carnality. Say, is that your personal experience? That's what God says. And we are trying to allow the Word of God to effectually, thoroughly work in us. And He says, we're all amens when it's talking about forgiveness of sin and bringing us to the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. But we start talking about separating from sin. Well, that's a little legalistic, don't you think? That's what God says. And He's doing it for us so we don't hurt ourselves. Because He knows the dangers that are out there. But He doesn't just want us separated. The Bible tells us, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He not only wants you separated from this lifestyle, but He has a purpose for you over here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Point number one. The work of the Word bringing us to the knowledge of sin and salvation. Number two, instructing us in separation and sanctification. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. There's the separation. Behold, all things are become new. There's the sanctification. Separating from an old lifestyle, moving towards that which is right and good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That's not like the Holy Bible. That is completely, that is effectually, that is thoroughly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a doctrinal truth. If you read in Colossians, it tells us when Christ saves us, He does this surgery without hands. Cut your spirit and soul away from your sinful flesh. Praise the Lord, because the flesh is where the sin is. I'm glad to be separated from that thing. Say, I didn't feel anything. That's why it's a surgery made without hands. No amnesia needed or anesthesia. Thank you. Amnesia. I forgot the word. But He separates us from our sinful flesh. And sometimes in our mind, we think we have this liberty of, oh, then I can sin in the flesh because I'm not bringing that with me. That's not what it says. He wants not just your spirit and soul, but your body be preserved blameless. He's got a plan for you. Our verse of the week this week, Galatians 2:20. Go there. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I am completely for the Lord. The old man's gone. I'm trying to live for the new man, my whole spirit, soul, and body. And here it is. I am crucified with Christ. What happened? That old man died. Now I live for Christ. That's sanctification. Separation is the old man gone. Separation, old man gone. Sanctification, living for right and good. So how do I know about that? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. Say, Pastor, you said you had 4 points, but I don't think that's fair because you're doubling up. Like the first point had 2 points, and then the second point had 2 points. So that's like 8 points. I'm doing the quick math. We're going to be here till Tuesday. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. Do you see the past tense? Such were some of you, but a change happened. What was that change? Coming to the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, having my sins forgiven. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. God's got a plan for you. It's not just to get you away from sin. It's to do something for Him. He's just looking for some people to get all in. No reserves. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. While you turn there, I'm going to take a sip of water. Sanctification is the amazing process to take something common and have it be used for a holy use. That's you and me. We're just common. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Our third point this morning. How are we doing? Oh, great. I don't see any faces out there. All right, we're gonna move through these next two as quickly as we can. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. The Bible says, 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak and be patient toward all men. Our third point this morning, salutation and service. Say, what is that? Well, if the Word of God is going to work effectually or effectually worketh in us, number one, it's going to bring us to a saving knowledge of Christ. Most important decision. Number two, it's going to teach us about separation and sanctification. But then it's going to tell us how to act one with another. You don't come up and do stuff like that. Say, why not? Because it's not right. You shouldn't mess up people's hair. Say, where's the verse on that? Brethren, warn them that are comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. It tells us how to interact. It gives us direction. It gives us how to conduct ourselves wisely with one another. Hey, if you're reading the scriptures and you're constantly saying this, oh, this verse would be great for that person, and this person, oh man, I'm gonna send them that verse. I want you to do something. I want you to stop and read that verse yourself. Because the things that we are most critical, listen now, the things that we are most critical of others is because it is such a glaring problem in our own life. That's truth. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. I don't have a problem going to a young teenager or a young adult or somebody that's making a mess of their life and saying, hey, stop what you're doing. Stop, you're going to hurt yourself. But in addition to that, we ought to comfort the feeble-minded. It tells us exactly how to interact with one another. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. It's got every answer, the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you. You know what? The Lord cannot, the devil cannot get a hold of your soul. Once you're saved, you're always saved. That's it. But he sure does want to mess things up here. And he's going to try and put you against him. Why? Because you can't serve right with bitterness in your heart. And he's going to put her against her. He is looking to make divisions. And God says one of the most important things for the body of Christ is our interaction one with another, that we be of the same mind. What mind is that? Pastor Russo, Pastor Seatman, the Word of God. That is the unity that we come under. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Where do I go for right judgment? The Word of God. This is the unity. We ought to be able to open up the scriptures and say, thus saith the Lord. This is what he says. And we ought to have the humility to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I didn't see it like that. And I'm sorry for hurting you or causing trouble. Let's move on for the cause of Christ. Let's not hang this over one another. Let's not abuse each other with our guilt and our pity. But let's serve the Lord together with gladness. Sometimes my kids do things that are wrong. I use that word sometimes very loosely. And we have a discussion. And for the next 2 weeks, I don't bring up with them, hey, remember when... But yet we do that for years with Christians. We do that for years. Can they ever get forgiveness? See, isn't the Word of God great? It tells us how to interact one with another. But not only our salutations, that's like our kindness. I was looking for an S word. I'm sorry. I didn't know. Salutations, but also our service. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. In about 5 minutes, we're going to have to go check on Brother Rice, make sure he's all right. Last time they had him tied up and taped. But 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. How am I supposed to serve the Lord? Graciously. I'm not sure if you've ever realized this, but you're a sinner. Even after being saved. Now, I understand that that's not going to keep me from getting into heaven, but I'm still a human, and I make mistakes. I sin. And I have a sinful, fleshly nature. Now, I try really hard to put that off to the side, but sometimes interaction, it brings that out again. And here, what does it tell us? That we act graciously, that we'd serve graciously. You know what? I need just as much as you, the grace of God, exhibited through your hand. Look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. The Word of God tells us how we serve not only God, but one another. We're gracious. We're loving. We act in unity. And lastly, say, what's left? I remember there was an ice cream parlor and they called it the kitchen sink. So what does that mean? They just put everything in a bowl. Say, what's your fourth point? Pretty much the kitchen sink. How could we ever limit or stop talking of the help of the Word of God personally in our life? Of what area does it not? Its ability, listen, to sustain us. It is the supply to sustain us. After we're saved, it gives us instruction about separation and sanctification. It tells us how to interact and serve with one another. But then in our daily personal life, it is the supply to sustain us. If the news came out this afternoon and said, oh, we're having a hard time getting meat out to people, your next stop would be Tops and you're just going to load up on chicken. Ground beef, even if it is $6.99 a pound, we're not going to be able to get it. We got to buy it. And here you are spending $200 on meat, putting it in the freezer. Why? Because you want a supply. Isn't it a blessing to open up the Word of God and know that it supplies everything we need to sustain? How often is the Word of God called food? Yes. Go with me to Psalm 119, and we'll finish our message here. Psalm 119. What better chapter to go to see of this sustaining Word of God in Psalm 119? The Bible tells me in 1 Peter 1:25 that His Word endureth forever. And these things are good to good to take to the bank. Psalm chapter 119. I want you to get this point in your head, though. This is to help me in my daily life. The Word of God is not some old book that your grandmother used to use and now it's obsolete. No, it is ever more applicable than ever before. In Psalm 119 and verse 11, it says, "Thy word have I hidden mine heart that I might not sin against thee." It is able to help us endure temptation. Look at Psalm 119 and verse 115. It says this, "Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God." Hey, you're struggling with enduring temptation? Word of God can help you. If you're struggling with knowing what truth is, anybody turn on the TV and go, "I'm not sure that's right. I'm not sure one person is more valuable than another person. Wish I knew what God thought about it." Oh, you know what we can do? Psalm 119 verse 29 says, "Remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously." Thankful for the Word of God to sustain me in truth. It is a full supply of what is right and what is true. Psalm 119 and 165. One of our verses, right? "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." It can sustain thee. It is your supply of peace. When I look out on the horizon of life and I go, how does this end? And then I read the Word of God. Oh, whew, we win. I'm on the winning side. As a child of God, I see how it ends. And that gives me peace. Psalm 119, verse 49 says, 119:49, it says, "Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope." It is our supply of hope. It is our supply to endure temptation. It is our supply of truth. It is our supply of peace. It is our supply of hope. Psalm 119 and verse 25, it says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust." That means it's a dry time. "Quicken thou me according to thy word." Hey, in the midst of a dry time, it is able to sustain me. And lastly, Psalm 119, verse 100. "I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts." It is my supply of wisdom. It's not just, I say not just, it gives us instruction in salvation. It guides us through separation and sanctification. It helps us in our service and salutation to one another and to God Himself. But it is our supply to sustain us. I quit. I'm out. Giving up on this Christianity thing. Why? Just didn't minister to me. You didn't use the Word of God. Last verse, Luke chapter 11 and verse 28. As we look at this verse, let's all stand. Say, that's different. Well, you've been sitting for a long time. I appreciate your patience and graciousness. I pray that this message was a help to you because the Word of God effectually worketh in us. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 28, "But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." We started our message talking about how valuable it is to receive it. But now to keep it, to put application to it. If you're here this morning, in a moment, in a few moments, the music is going to play. Mrs. Huber's going to come and play the piano. And if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the greatest decision that you could make is to allow someone to show you from the Scriptures what it means to be saved. The Word of God is good to bring us to a knowledge of Christ. If this morning you've been here and you know in your life you've been holding hands with the devil or the sin, and you've not been separated like you should, would you allow the Word of God to help separate where you ought to be and how you ought to go? And make yourself available. God, however you want to use me in any way, I am available. Maybe it's your interaction with one another. Maybe you haven't been wise in that. Maybe you've been causing divisions rather than unity. Under the authority of the Scriptures, get yourself under to allow God to guide and direct you. Maybe you're on your last thread, holding on for dear life. Please know that God is able to sustain you with His supply. In a moment, the music's going to play, and whatever it is that the Lord touched your heart about, maybe you'd come and talk to Him. Maybe you just want to come and thank the Lord for the Word of God that is so true and so right. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time. Thank You for Your Word. Lord, I pray that if someone here today doesn't know You, that today would be the day that they call upon You to save their soul. God, if we've tried to hold hands with that which is unholy, Lord, forgive us. And God, I pray that we'd come and make right. God, if we have an offense against a brother or sister, that we'd not allow divisions. Lord, if we're having a hard time just continuing on, Lord, I pray that we'd run to the Word to help sustain us. Bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?